Or standing in grace. We're going to enjoy that. It's the only place to stand, right in the center of grace. The message today is to get your eyes off yourself and onto Jesus, and step two, keep them there. What happens if you start looking at yourself? Does it create long-term rejoicing? Keep our eyes on Him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're looking at the blessings of Christ here this morning, but if a Christian sins, it's easy to end up in condemnation. It's easy to end up feeling a failure. Supposing you've, when you see the extent and the expanse of sin, when you see that, then you can really appreciate what you've been set free from. Praise God. Praise God. You see, it says love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. Well, I'm finished right there on that one. I don't know about you. Praise God. Suppose you've cooled off from the Lord for a day, a week, a couple of weeks. Can you see it? The extent of it. Praise God. So it's easy to end up condemned. It's easy to end up feeling a failure. I haven't read the Bible for 2 weeks and I'm just feeling such a failure now. And so that's all condemnation. So we want to see what the answer to condemnation is. Praise God. Praise God. Because condemnation, the answer to condemnation for the believer is not, I'll try a bit better in the future. The answer to condemnation is not, I'm going to try, but I'll try reading a little bit more of the word. And that's not the answer to condemnation. The answer to condemnation is justification. Justification. Justification means to be freed from all guilt before God forever. That's the answer to condemnation of any sort, is justification. Praise God. Now, if my answer to feeling condemned, we've all done this, by the way, is I'll try a bit harder to obey God, that I'll feel a bit more easy in my conscience. So I've done this. I don't know about anyone else. You've sinned and you feel terrible about the sin. And so you think, I'll start reading the word. And that's a good thing to do, by the way. But I'll start reading the word and then I'll feel a bit easier about how I failed. Can you see how you could easily do this? It's like a weighing scales type thing. There's bad things there, so I'll try and outweigh it with some good things and I'll feel a little bit better. Big problem with it. The big problem is that you're focused on yourself. Me focused on myself, if I do it that way. It's not going to work. So, it will end you up in more failure because you're going to try by your efforts. And all our efforts are imperfect. And so I'm never going to get the answer through my efforts. I'm never going to get the answer through me trying to improve myself. Praise God. But if I look to what He has done. Now I've shifted the gaze right off of me. And we heard this in the prophetic words this morning. So I've got the gaze right off of me. And I'm looking at what He has done. Now the peace comes. Now the settlement comes. Now the peace comes. And I'm starting to live in His finished work, which guarantees success. Praise God. I've got to live there and I've got to stay there in His finished work if I'm to live in the victory that He wants me to live in. You see, the second part of Galatians 2:20 says this. The life I live in the body. He says, the life I'm living now in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm living in this body, but I'm not living by faith in myself. I'm living by faith and trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what I'm looking to. I'm looking to His finished work. So mentioning Romans 4:25, Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses. And he was raised up for our justification. He was raised up, freeing me from all guilt before God forever. Hallelujah. So Jesus went gladly to take the punishment for my sin and sin of the whole world. He went gladly to take the punishment. Now, the wonder is now I'm not punished for my sin. You're not punished for your sin. He was punished. You see, Christians can feel, well, I've done this and this and this, and so it wouldn't be surprising if some bad things happened to me now. No! He took all the bad things for the sin. He took all the punishment on his body. You are freed from all punishment to do with sin. Thank you, Jesus. And so, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. But you don't come into that until you receive Christ. Hallelujah. The sin of the whole world he's taken away. Praise God. He took all the punishment for my sin and he took all the sin away. Jesus was raised from the dead as proof that my sins are paid for, and that I'm justified, and that I'm freed from all guilt for all sin forever. You see, this is where he wants us to live in this. Because you start living in this, then you're on the starting block for what God can do in your life. Amen. So man was up to his eyes in sin. And there was no way out if Jesus hadn't come. See, Jesus came and he showed the extent of sin. He came and he showed it. You see, before there was a command, you shan't murder. And so many people will say today, well, I never murdered anyone. And they're taking that as a commendation that they're okay before God because they never murdered anyone. Well, Jesus said, if you call somebody you fool, you've murdered them. Jesus started to show the expanse and the damage of sin, and he brought the answer to it. Amen. God didn't show the full extent of it until Jesus came as the answer to it. Amen. Because it is so utterly impossible to live right before God. Utterly impossible of your own self to live right before God. And so we utterly and completely and totally need Jesus. He's the answer. The Holy Spirit speaking in Romans 3 and verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. You see, the righteousness under the old covenant was a partial righteousness as they followed the commands as best they could. And their righteousness was a righteousness in comparison to others. So the Pharisee went up, he said, I thank you, I'm not like the rest of men. Well, no, he was better than some of the rest of men, but stank before God. Praise God. You see, if we've broken one tiny little bit of God's law, the tiniest little bit anywhere, it's the same as we've broken the whole thing, so we're all finished. And so utterly need Jesus. Amen. So Romans 5 and verse 1, we'll get into a few verses here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, not by my works, not by anything I've done. No, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, wonderful. If you've received Christ, then you have been justified. It's in the past tense. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Having been justified, it's a finished work for every believer. It's completed. It's finished. It's totally sufficient. Everything is done for every true believer in Christ. Is it wonderful? Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with me. His perfect work. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So every believer who's put their trust in Christ has a permanently established peace. No, it's permanently established. If you're a believer, it's permanently established, the peace between you and God through Christ Jesus, and nothing can ever change it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And we've been permanently justified. Justification doesn't come and go. No, justification is a completed, finished work that is totally established, and it is as certain as Christ himself. Is Christ going to be removed from any place? Well, justification through faith in him is not going to be removed either. So it's an established, permanent work of Christ for us to live in. When I was preparing this, you see, we're not called to make peace with God. Did you ever hear somebody saying, it was great that they've made their peace with God, and we know what that means, and so on. You couldn't make peace with God. That's why Jesus had to come. He made the peace between God and us, and now we are free to live in it. It's not me making anything. I know what the fruit of what I'd make would end up. Jesus has made it all. Praise God. Now, when you live in the middle, you see, when you start to realize how completely, wonderfully, fully, finally, that he has dealt with everything on our behalf, you realize, you know that you've been forgiven much. When you see those truths, you think, Lord, all the stuff is all covered. All the stuff is all paid for. All the guilt of all the stuff is all removed and paid for. You start to love much. Now what happens is that from your heart now comes a love response to Jesus. It's not, I better try and, get a bit of a relationship going with God. No. You have to first see what's been done for you. And when you see what's been done for you, the praise just comes pouring out of you. You don't have to be wound up to it or encouraged to it. You're responding to the magnificence of what Christ has done for all of us. It's wonderful. Look at verse 2. Through whom? Through Christ. Also, we have access by faith, that means trusting him, into this grace, the grace of justification and the grace of peace, into this grace in which we stand. Did you ever visualize yourself standing in the middle of grace? I mean, what's grace? All his favor freely given. You and I are standing right in the center of it. He's placed us there right into the center of all the grace of God. You're standing there. You're in Christ, from whom pours grace after grace after grace. You're standing right in the center of his eternal favor that's never going to be switched off to you. You see, when we see the truth, we can start to see such a bright future for ourselves. We can start to see such a bright hope. Praise God. Look at the next phrase you see in the verse. Whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because we know what we're standing in, we're rejoicing in the hope. Trusting and believing in Jesus, I find myself standing in grace, totally unworked for, totally undeserved. All the favor, all the blessings of God, including justification and peace with God. Is it wonderful? That's where the rejoicing comes from. Hallelujah. If you're looking around and you're wondering, well, what are they all into? This is what we're into. His wonderful grace for us and what he's done for us. Praise God. I'm rejoicing in hope, confident expectation of all good things, of the glory of God. I'm expecting to live in all the glory continually. all the glory he lives in. I expect to live in the center of his love, his joy, his peace, his kindness, his mercy, his goodness, his strength, his power. I'm expecting to live in it. I see myself living in it because it's where the Lord tells me I truly stand right now. Is it wonderful? Glory to God. It's so freeing. You see, grace is everything freely given to us. That's what grace is. And then faith is the gift that God has given to us to be able to receive what's freely given. That's what faith is. That's what grace is. It's wonderful. Now, it goes on in verse 3. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. That means troubles of all sorts. I don't believe the scripture is saying that we glory in the trouble. No. I believe the scripture is saying that we're glorying in Christ. We're glorying in the wonderful hope that we have in Christ right in the middle of the troubles. See, troubles start to take their rightful place when you know who you are in Christ and when you know what Christ has done for you. Praise God. Because the scripture says that trouble can't separate me from God's grace that I'm standing in. No, trouble can't separate me from his love, his joy, his peace, his kindness, his goodness, his strength, his power, the glory of God, because it's all permanent, permanently established for you and me to live in, permanently, eternally. Praise God. In Romans 8, we'll just mention some verses there that you'll well know. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, distress, shortage, famine. Verse 37 says, in all these things, now right in the middle of all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him who loved us. His love for us is bigger than any trouble we might be standing in. His grace to us is bigger than any shortage or any distress of any kind. In the love of Christ in which you stand are all the answers. See, all the answers are in him. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. All the answers are in him. All the answers to trouble, all the answers to distress, all the answers to famine and shortage, they're all in him. So let's just think of it for a few moments practically. I mean, what immediate help comes from Christ Jesus in the time of trouble? Well, peace. The first thing the scripture says that he's ever present in a time of trouble. It's like he draws near. I mean, he's as near as he can be, but it's like he draws even nearer in the time of trouble so that you have all his strength. And he says, cast the lot of all that onto me. No, he says, cast the whole, let me carry the whole weight of it. You see, we start carrying the concern and the weight. No, he says, cast the lot to me to carry. I'm there to help. Cast the lot to me. I'll give you my peace. You settle in my peace and ask me for the wisdom. Was that what we heard in the prophetic word today? He says, if you ask, he'll give you wisdom without finding fault. You could have made a right mess up of things yourself, and we've all done this. And you come to him, and you ask him for what's the wisdom, what's the right way to go forward now, because I've made a right mess up here. He won't accuse, he won't condemn. He'll give you the answers. He'll give you the way to move forward. You see, just let him, just open the scripture and let him speak to you through the word. You say, Lord, I need to hear from you right now. Just start reading some scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and see what comes to you as answers from him. Is it wonderful? Yes. Praise God. I conquer every trouble. I conquer every distress. I conquer every shortage through him who loved me. I mean, what about distress? You see, the good shepherd, he quietens my soul. Jesus knows how to settle me. Jesus knows how to settle you if there's some hassles going on and some things that are. Just think of the violent storm on the sea. Remember that? And Jesus stood up and he said, "Peace be still." And the word says that there was a great calm. Well, what about if he's ministering on the inside of you and you're like a troubled sea about it all? They say, "Jesus, just speak peace and be calm and let there be a great calm on the inside of me and not the panic that I've been going around in." I mean, is he wonderful? Is this real? Glory to God. Praise God. Time of shortage. There's a prayer in Psalm 37, an inspired prayer. In the days of famine, in the days of recession, in the days of cutbacks, in the days of job shortages, they, the righteous, shall be satisfied. He knows how to do it. He knows how to lead you. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, we've had some wonderful testimonies of God leading into the answer, leading into the financial answers. Very, very wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. So the question is, will I remain convinced and fully persuaded that through Christ we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand? See, will I stay fully persuaded that Christ is the answer to everything? Will I remain fully persuaded to stand in the middle of all the grace, all the favor, all the justification, all the peace? Do I see myself as God sees me? Permanently in the center of all his favor in which we stand? Do I see myself as God sees me, freed from guilt forever and at peace with God forever? Do I see myself like that? Because that's your true position. You see, and the reason that many Christians aren't in this is because they've never heard it. You can't move into something you've never seen and never heard. But by God's grace, he keeps opening up all these truths to us, and so we can stand confidently in the center of them. Look at Romans 5, verse 5, and we're just finished now. Now, hope does not disappoint. I'm never going to be disappointed with my faith in Christ. Oh, I'm never going to be disappointed with his help in any situation. I'm never going to be disappointed with the wisdom he gives me in any given time. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise God. The love, it has been poured in. Well, his name is Jesus. Praise God. We've been baptized into Christ. We're placed right in the center of all his grace, all his goodness, all his kindness forever. Praise God. Praise God. See, the Lord's love for us is not just "I love them." No, the Lord's love for us is full of action. God so loved the world that he gave. He loves you so much that he gave and will continue to give everything that you and I need as we come to him. He is forgiven much, loves much. I mean, you just look back in any given week and you see the utter shortcomings of our ability to follow God. In any week, you think, "Lord Jesus, you know, we can't even get one command properly in place." And so we know that he accepts us totally and completely in the Beloved. I'm accepted in Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. But now from that place of security, I can now begin. It is only a beginning. I can begin to show forth some of the things of Christ as I live with him. Can you see that? But every shortcoming is all covered and dealt with. And I am eternally and permanently set free from all the guilt of sin forever through Christ. Is it wonderful? Praise God. Praise God. Is anyone encouraged? Praise God. Well, let's break bread. John, you lead us in breaking bread now, and that'd be superb.
Let's just receive together now the fullness of what we've just heard. Just allow a smile to rise up inside you, knowing that you are justified. Knowing that we are freed from all guilt before God forever. It's personal to us. That we're to see ourselves, it's just as if we've never sinned. That justification is a finished work for every true believer. And even at this moment, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, you just say, Jesus, I love you. I make you my Lord and Saviour. For we're going to share a meal together of bread and wine. And as we do so, we remember our Lord Jesus, who said to us, take, eat this bread. This represents my body broken for you. Drink this wine. This represents my blood shed for you. For the forgiveness of sins, he said. And it says, do this in remembrance of me. Beloved, let's always remember as we share the bread and the wine, the wonderful work that has been done for us at the cross of Calvary. It is finished. It is a finished work. We now live in the justification and the grace of God. Standing in the grace this morning, we thank you, Lord.
Thank him. There is such.